Hi, everybody. This is Tari with Angel Coaches, and I'm excited tonight. We've got a great show planned, and I have two guests on, Victoria and Heidi. Some of you guys remember Heidi from last week. She shared her story about her healing herself, being in a vegetative state, and not being able to get out of bed, and had to lost everything. Her family with other family members to, or put her children with other family members so that they could watch them. And she, I think Heidi, if I'm not mistaken, you said, this is it. I'm going to have to be in bed and I'm not going to be able to do anything because you had epilepsy so bad. You were having 13, 14 seizures a day. Is that right? I think
that's correct. It was upward of 10. Yeah.
Wow. And you were suffering from bipolar and you were
also
suffering from
Tourette's. I had about 26 facial and body, auditory, verbal tics, all of the above. My brain was a mess.
Well, that's okay. It sounds like some of the guys I used to date. So I'm just teasing. Anyway, we have Victoria too, and I'm excited about having her. But we're going to bring her on in just a little bit. But you and I were talking because you did something incredible. You healed yourself of all of these illnesses. Not only that, I think you're becoming a full-fledged naturopath doctor, as a holistic practitioner as of December 21st, 2012. It's, by the way, that's the same day the calendar ends, Mayan calendar ends, right?
So right. And I have a private practice in holistic health, and then I will have a full naturopathic doctorate practice.
Correct. That is amazing because I know last week when we were chatting with you and you were so open and honest and I appreciate that because I got a lot of emails and calls and people are like, how does she do it? Tell us her techniques. How does she get that done? And I said, well, Heidi, will you come back on and do the show and explain the science and the spirituality of what you did to heal yourself? And I know that we got an actual person that is in the process of doing this herself, and we'll talk to her in just a little bit. But how did you do that? I know you said that science is everything, and science and spirituality are very similar, or close. Is that what you told me?
Yes, I did. I think we oftentimes make too large of a differentiation between science and metaphysics. For me, I adopt the theory that metaphysics is simply science that has not been proven yet. And I don't see that there's a real large distinction, just as there's not a distinction between, the holistic person, the mind, body, and spirit. When I look back, I don't believe I was aware of it at the time. I wasn't consciously implementing the law of attraction because I didn't know that. I didn't know what that was. It wasn't something that came into our media or our attention until many years later after I had started my healing process. But as I look back, it was pure and simply the law of attraction put into action. And so today I kind of wanted to go over some of the ways in which that was done. I wanted to go through the three important brain functions that are related to the law of attraction, and that is neuroplasticity, DMT, and the reticular activating system of the brain.
Okay, and if they don't, if people can't remember all that, they can call you at
your
website.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter
okay.
Because it will, you know, the terminology, the terms don't matter. What matters is the whole idea and the theory that thinking changes you physiologically. Neuroplasticity is that our thoughts can change the structure and the function of our brain. And this has only recently been brought to light in the book, The Brain That Changes Itself, by Norman Deutsch. I had read that and gave a book report on it some years ago in school. The Dalai Lama was actually very instrumental in recent years promoting this information. But the brain has the power to change its own structure. Even those with severe neurological afflictions through neurological exercise and repetition of thought and meditation.
Wow. May I ask you a question? Because that's interesting. You said that the brain can actually change it, how it looks, what its function. It can become super aware, right? If you're average at best and or below average at best, then you can, with repetition of thought, with meditation, you can change that. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. People with problems such as strokes, cerebral palsy, mental illnesses can train other areas of the brain through repetition, mental and physical exercises to completely remap. So what happens if you have an area of the brain that's functioning under its level, and maybe there's been damage there that cannot be easily healed, the brain simply remaps. So it uses the other part of the brain or other areas of the brain to function in the way that that lost area of the brain should function but doesn't. And that's all brought out in this book. One of the women that's cited in the book literally lost half of her brain. She only had one half of the brain that was functioning, yet she was able to function as if she had a full brain because the half of the brain that she had remapped to where the mapping was double density. So she still had the function of a full brain, even though she had only one brain, half of her brain functioning.
That is amazing. Okay, so let me ask you a question. People like yourself who had, you had epilepsy. I'm in the process of releasing diabetes. I know that we're going to bring Victoria on in just a little bit, and she's healing herself of Lyme's disease. How, you said meditation and repetition of thought. What kind of repetition of thought do you need to do? Is it a mantra that you say, I'm getting better? Give us something to work on with that. People are listening.
The way I experienced it in my own illness is I would go through the seizures, and I would have a time after the seizure where I know that everyone thought I was unconscious. I was unconscious. I was very, I won't say I was unconscious, I was subconscious. And what I mean by that is I was someplace else in my head, and I couldn't respond, I couldn't talk, I couldn't open my eyes, but I was still there. And when I was in that state of altered consciousness, I remember thinking to myself, now, I'm thinking, and I can think, and my brain is functioning, but I just can't do it in a way that expresses this to anyone else or the world around me. So while I'm in this altered state, I'm going to do what I can do to help myself. And in that altered state, I begin to have or make or create positive thoughts of healing. And I would imagine myself or try to picture myself coming out of the seizure. I would picture myself getting up out of bed. I would picture myself going to the bathroom, fixing dinner. I would simply visualize. I believe I visualized in that altered state of what it would be like to heal. And I believe this is what I was doing. I was remapping my brain. I was creating a reality.
Oh my gosh.
By visualization.
Wow. So you visualize that? You visualize getting cooking, actual activities that you do right?
That
would work for you.
Right. While I was in that that altered state of consciousness.
Okay.
And I believe in hindsight, I believe that's what I was doing. I was doing mental exercises to remap my brain.
Okay.
And to strengthen the brain out of that altered state of seizure recovery. And I think it actually got me out of the seizures quicker. Whereas I would, be 2 days in bed after a seizure. It maybe got me up in 24 hours.
Oh,
so
my
I think
gosh,
the recovery,
that is amazing.
You know, the recovery time was much faster. And that's what neuroplasticity does. That's what we can, that's how strong our thought patterns are. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Okay, so we need to really, so you're saying changing our thought patterns means putting positive thoughts, visualization. So for someone like myself, I'm releasing diabetes, and I do a lot with that. And it was amazing. The other day, I keep saying amazing. It was incredible. How about that one? I was thinking about, I actually could feel myself not having it, but what
yes.
is a thought pattern? Yeah. That's exactly it.
And it's this process is the scientific validation of mind over matter. And we've laughed about that for how many times in our history have we laughed over that cliche of mind over matter? But it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true because our thought processes changes the patterns in our brain, and our brain is the powerhouse. It's the place that gives all direction of function to every system of our body. And not only to our body, but our environment. So that is where the law of attraction comes, is from the thought pattern affecting us physiologically, and as it affects us physiologically, our response to our environment changes, and as our response to our environment changes, events change.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What you're saying is it affects our thought pattern affects our physical body, right? Okay, I get you. And I know that Victoria has told me the same thing. That's and she'll explain what she's going through in just a little bit. But I have a new person that is just getting involved with Angel Coaches. She has just found out she's had cancer a few months. And so changing her thought patterns can, and with the visualization, can help her heal I call it a journey of healing. She can really learn to, working with her doctors, of course, she can learn to heal herself, right? Where if the brain is affecting the physical body with cancer, we can change the brain to think with thoughts, positive thoughts and meditation to change it to affect the body to heal. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And it's not so simple. It's not so simplistic as thinking the condition away. What you're actually doing is you are visualizing the reality of what you want to achieve. And when you visualize that reality, this tells or communicates to your brain to tell your immune system, like in her case, her immune system, then to respond in a specific way to be able then to combat the cancer. It's very physiological. There is a true physiological process to visualization.
Man, that's incredible when you're breaking it down like that, because sometimes people think visualizing just something is what you need to do, and people don't believe it, but you're explaining it on a science level. Thank you, Heidi. That I know there's a lot of people having aha moments. I'm having one myself. So.
Right. One woman I know who had cancer, she visualized her tumor as an old dead tree that that had been, you know how if you've gone to the country and you've seen an old dead tree that's been struck by lightning and it doesn't have any growth on it. It's just a gnarly tree. And she visualized herself chopping branch by branch, chopping that tree and throwing it in the fire. Well, fire is representative of healing light. Red light is a healing light. So just that visualization of her chopping the branches off of that tree, throwing it in the fire and burning it, and the ashes then being washed away out of the body, the toxins of the cancer being washed away. And she would visualize that in a meditation, you know, for like an hour a day, you know, or whenever she had her time. And she would slowly, every time she would chop that tree down, throw it in the fire. And that visualization, that's an excellent example of visualization for healing.
That's great. I like that. And then you said there's other things here like DMT. I can't even say that word.
DMT. It's like dimethyltryptamine. It's a long word, but basically DMT is all you need to remember. It's a naturally occurring compound in the brain. It's kin to the amino acid tryptamine, and it allows the brain to experience spiritualism. We all have it. It's in most every living thing. And when you're able to visualize, when you're able to go into that altered state, transcendental meditation is an excellent example of that. That is the ability to physiologically turn on that compound in the brain and be able to naturally experience spiritual experiences. When we're overcome by emotion, whether it be in church or in our own time of meditation or whatever, that ability to experience spiritualism is caused from the DMT within our brain.
So you're saying it, transcendental meditation, yoga, would yoga be one of them, right?
Absolutely. Yoga would be, yes. Even music therapy, you know, that's another good example. When we go into a meditative state and we've got earphones on and we've got the theta wave music or, you know, whatever you have, that's pulling in the DMT, and you're able to visualize things, and you're, astral projection, that's another good example, of that kicking in.
Okay, remote viewing, astral projection, wow, that's cool. You can use that not only for healing, but also for, we're talking about healing your mind, you know, your body, your physical body. You could use all these things to visualize prosperity, the great job, all those things, mm-hmm. using these same techniques. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. So there's actually an actual spiritual molecule.
There's
cell
a spiritual molecule. And it's absolutely. And that's what we also may be able to believe, that is what occurs when we have near-death, out-of-body experiences, is we're experiencing a heightened level of that compound in the brain at the time of, you know, when your heart is stopped or whatever, and you're able to experience that because the soul doesn't die. You're able to experience that, and then if you're brought back to life through a heartbeat, then you re-enter, and then, of course, that levels out. But the brain doesn't die very easily.
I've read that too, but not too long ago I was reading that it's the body will die, physical body, but the brain is still there for a few hours.
Exactly. Yes, that's a very good point.
Okay. Yeah, I'd read that too. I was like shocked by that. So these two things are really, this helps you understand the law of attraction, you know, instead of it being some kind of spiritual thing that you can't do, It takes focus and discipline to do it, but you can do it, right?
You can.
I mean, that,
you can.
Okay. 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 How about the next one? You said, I'm not even going to, reticular activating system.
Right. The reticular activating system. That's the part of the brain that recognizes forms of pattern. And when you go into a thought process where you are thinking about what you want to achieve or your goals, that is the problem-solving area of the brain. That's what puts the thought into action.
Okay.
Into creative, I would say creative action. It's the creative part of problem solving that makes you recognize not only thinking patterns, but patterns that you live through within your environment that can make that happen for you.
Give me an example of it, or give us an example. Do you mind? You know what I mean? So a real life example.
Oh dear. That's hard to do. Let me think about in my own.
In your own life. Yeah.
Well, a good example would be when I had a seizure. It would be the part that would help me to recognize patterns of when I had seizures, when the seizures were spontaneous. If I wanted to get well and there was no consistency in my seizure whatsoever, it would be the part of the brain that would help me to recognize patterns that were not obvious. And I did. I did recognize patterns. And everybody and their brother, every doctor told me that I had seizures before I ate when I had low blood sugar. Well, I did, but I also had them after I would eat. So I had to think about, well, what pattern is there that occurs both before I eat and after I eat? Because if I have them after I eat, it's not low blood sugar. Well, I was able to debunk the idea that it was low blood sugar because I was able to recognize the pattern that it is not only before but also after I eat, which then I was able to figure out it was neurotoxins. It was toxicity of what I was eating all the time rather than what I was eating just before, well, just after a meal.
Okay, let me ask you this, okay? And this is important because I'm thinking about it. So when you're recognizing the patterns, and so that means that instead of going so fast like we always do we go at the speed of light most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to slow down, know how our body functions when we're wanting to change something on a physical level, correct?
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, too? Remember how I was talking about how I would think and problem solve in those states of altered consciousness? This is the kind of thing I spent hours and hours and hours a day thinking about while I was unconscious. I would, that was that part of my brain that was not gone. Just because my body was a limp leaf, you know, my brain was very hard at work. It was very, very hard at work. Everyone else thought I was, unconscious, but I was hard at work. And that may have been when my brain was the most open, because it did allow subconscious thought processes. It did allow me a time of an altered state to think creatively. It did allow the DMT to kick in. It did allow, the reticular activating system to kick in. It did allow the neuroplasticity to regulate and to develop. So I think that's an interesting point.
I think so, too. So it's like the subconscious is actually... This part that's like the subconscious has always worked. It's like a little motor and always going, and that's what was going in with you. Even
right.
though your physical brain, okay, gotcha. It's like a little
right.
motor in the background.
Right. Wow. And I think the subconscious probably has more to do with the law of attraction than the conscious, because when you think about, I've heard many people say, well, I try to, you know, I think positively, I do all that, you know, and, you know, something's not working. And sometimes I think that it's just they're trying too hard. They're just working it too hard, that just to allow the subconscious mind to take over and do all that work for you. And it's not such, it's not so tedious that way. It's not so labor intensive.
Right. So you're just like you started working on yourself, and while everyone thought you were unconscious, you were out like a light, you were working. But did you know you were doing that?
I was very conscious of it. I did. Because first of all, I don't know, you know, I just felt like I needed, you know, even in the state of what I was in, I felt like I needed to be doing something productive, and I couldn't move, and right. I had a lot of time to think about my predicament of laying there not being able to move,
right,
and how I was going to get around that, and what I was going to do about it, you know?
Right. So you were thinking about all of that. Now, let me ask you one question. And is there something that you can do, a mental exercise, so you can really concentrate on the patterns the things that happened to you before and after, like you did with your epilepsy, so that you know that when you recognize those patterns, you know things are changing or things are different? Is there an exercise, or is that even a dumb question to ask? Or
it's
probably
not a dumb question. Not at all. There's steps to manifestation that I think are they're pretty clear cut. They're structured, and I think it's important to understand the structure behind manifesting. And one of them is you've got to realize that it takes time. Anything worthwhile is going to take time. You have to define the intent. You have to be very clear as to what you want to accomplish. And you have to allow a buffer of time. There is when you plant a seed, you don't plant it the night before it's going to snow. So, you know, you have to realize that there's going to be a time and a season that's appropriate for an intent that you want to implement. So you have to be very practical about your consideration of that. Then you have to plant the seed. And once you plant the seed, you have to nurture the seed. You have to take care of that idea. You have to nurture that idea. You have to nurture and be kind and take good care of that intent. You have to allow that intent to grow. You have to understand, too, that sometimes there's going to be stray seeds that get in your garden. Sometimes when you're planting seeds, you have this big bushel baskets of lovely seeds of one thing, and there's going to be stray seeds in there. There's going to be seeds of something that you didn't intend on planting, but you've also got to realize that those stray seeds are sometimes the very thing that make that intent realized. Sometimes that intent needs those other seeds to be able to grow. So the unforeseen, the unexpected plants that grow around your intent are those situations that happen as a result of your intent that were unexpected. Pay attention to them, because they may be the very thing that you need to realize that.
And power of intention is key, and I agree with you. But I'm always the one to say, okay, give me an example, because there are people on there, power of intention, what's that? You know, I had a lady, law of attraction. I said, law of attraction about getting her guy? And she goes, you mean there's a law out there that says he has to be attracted to me? I thought I would die. So, yeah, people need to understand power of intention. Can you give an example about what you just said, the power of intention? And then extra seeds that really plants that will affect that, because that will bring that, bring the power of intention and bring it, you know, to you because of the what your power or your intention that
okay.
you set out.
Okay, say you're dealing with a healing situation and you want to heal. So you have the intent to heal, but planting and nurturing those intentions of healing does not mean, you know, and I know this is going to sound so simplistic, but it doesn't mean staying in bed worrying about being sick, you know?
Right, it because means, the worry will affect it. Is that
exactly,
what you're saying?
Exactly. It's going to, again, attract more ill health. It's a matter of saying, laying in bed and saying, what do I do now? What is the most positive thing I can do now? For me, laying in bed, unconscious, it was those thoughts, those were intense. Thinking, okay, I'm laying here, I can't do anything, I can't make it to the bathroom, I can't move, I can't open my eyes. What am I going to do now? And what am I going to do to get myself out of this predicament? And that is where the intent starts. And, you know, it's like, well, let's see, if I can just begin to move my fingers, and I move my fingers, and if I can just make a fist, I can make a fist. And it's just that little baby steps, baby steps, baby steps, and then pretty soon I'm getting out of bed and I'm going to the bathroom. And I make it to the bathroom, and then I'm thinking, oh, but it's only 3 or 4 feet over there. You know, I'm in an RV. It's only 3 or more feet to the sink. Maybe I can get myself a glass of water. You know, and it sounds so simplistic, Tree, but that's the way I started, because when I was in the predicament I was in, I lost my ability to read and write. Oftentimes I didn't even know my name. But those little tiny steps of intent placed one step after another is what got me from that situation to a doctoral. And it works.
Oh, my gosh. What a great line. Say that again.
I'm sorry?
Those small steps of intent.
Small steps of intent is what got me from laying in bed vegetative to getting a PhD in naturopathy. It sounds so somewhat so trite to think that those little bitty baby steps meant so much, but those were the absolute fundamental things that I had to do to begin to heal. And it's starting with being able to move a finger. And see, that's what's important to realize is no intent is too small. No intent is too significant. Because every intent toward a positive process is significant. It's vital.
I want to ask a question real quickly, okay? You have to have a burning desire to change, to really have intention to heal, to make to live in prosperity.
No matter if you
were unconscious. Or conscious or in bed, you know, you said, okay, I'm going to get better. Today I can go to the bathroom and get a glass of water. Tomorrow maybe I can walk outside and walk my dog, whatever it is, okay? So what I notice about people, okay, and I'm going to, Victoria, she's got a great story because I want her, because I know she's like, man, I'm doing this. She didn't even know what she was doing probably. She's like me. I'm like, you just do it because you're the doctor here. But one of the things that I notice about people is that they go, yeah, that sounds great, and they get all emotionally excited, and then the next day they're in the doldrums again about not having whatever, the health, money, life choices, the man, the woman, any of those things. You just kept that burning desire, right? and you just said, I'm going to do it no matter what. Do you think that is so key that you have to get to that point?
I do. I think you have to come to a point where you have nothing else to lose. You know? And it's actually, we don't have that choice to get that low. Some of us just are that at that predicament, and you feel hopeless. But you don't have to do that in order to implement law of attraction. And I don't mean to suggest that. My point is that you're never too low to do it. You're never at a point where it's so overwhelming that you can't do it, and you just have to absolutely remove the fear of failure. You have to remove the fear of failure, and you have to remove the thoughts of overthinking it. You know, you can just think too much about something, and you spend too much time thinking about it, and you just have to do it. You just have to put those thoughts, those intents, those words into action. You have to just do it.
Wow, that's good. I really like that. That is so, so very true. Listen, I want to talk to Victoria in just a second, but really quickly, what are some of the, how important is nutrition, taking care of your body, you're a doctor, how important is that to making, you know, making your manifestation happen? You know, with all the things that you're teaching us tonight, how important is all that stuff?
There are foods that will flatly sabotage neurological function, and artificial processed foods are the worst. MSG is the worst. Aspartame, yeast extract, all of the everything that we can't pronounce on a label. A food should preferably not have a label. A food should never have more than 5 ingredients if it does have a label. We've got to stay on very, very natural foods because it is full of toxic things that overstimulate the brain. And when the brain is overstimulated with toxins, it cannot function. And if I had to say there was one thing that was responsible for my illness, that's what it was. My brain was full of toxins, and once I cleaned the toxins out with good, natural, organic food, my brain began to heal. Artificial sweeteners are bad. Meat and dairy really take away from brain function. Alcohol and drugs impairs it. You know, anything that overstimulates the brain, fragrance products in the house that are not natural, are hard on the brain. Foods that enhance the brain would be raw foods, vegetarian foods. I've become a vegan in this whole process because I just am very emphatic that it is healthy for brain function. Good mental and spiritual hygiene, forgiving others, being able to have confidence in the wonderful divine being that you were created to be. The brain has got to have adequate hydration. When the brain is dehydrated, it does not function. And just good, healthy foods like omega-3s and berries and avocados and coconut oil is an excellent, excellent food to feed the brain. Exercise, of course, that's important for healthy brain function. Meditation, and by all means, manage stress wisely. Stress will absolutely kill you, and I'm an example of that because that was a lot of my problem was not being able to handle stresses that I experienced.
You know what? You have taught me a lot tonight, and I'm sure everybody is listening on this call. And we got one of your friends on the call too. I think he's here. You've taught me a lot. Thank you. And I know we're going to have you back on again. But I want to introduce you to Victoria. That you read her story last night and sent me an email. Victoria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You've heard what Heidi said. How much of this stuff are you doing? I mean, I know you're
a lot of it.
Yeah, because you're healing yourself of Lyme's, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I would have to say, though, you know, I'm doing it without even knowing about the brain or all that DHT stuff or whatever it is. But I, you know, I'm approaching my healing also from an understanding, a spiritual understanding, more so than anything, and just understanding that we're here on the earth, you know, as a planned thing. So there's lessons to be learned, and I think when I realized that there was a lesson for me to be learned and the Lyme disease was an actual indicator that I wasn't on the right path, that's when I decided to rethink about how I was thinking about things and how I was deciding things and how I was managing my life. And once I altered it to allow myself to be better to myself, then, you know, things started to change. And, you know, I don't feel slimy anymore. It's been about 2.5 months.
Heidi, I'm going to ask you a question, and she's just said something, and I sent it out into an email with everyone to everyone last night, and it's on the Angel Coach's Facebook page. But I believe this. I think that we make our soul our life plan before we ever come to this planet, and we choose illnesses to learn certain lessons, and that's what she just said. You chose Lyme, you feel, before you got here to learn self-love and self-worth. As you began learning it, Victoria, then you're releasing the Lyme's disease, or you're not feeling as limey anymore. I like that, by the way. So, how do you feel about that? Do you agree with that, that philosophy, that you choose your illnesses to learn and teach certain lessons?
Absolutely. I believe when the illness no longer serves you, you're able to overcome it. And it just, you know, my illness was serving a wonderful life lesson. It was a classroom for me for 45 years.
Okay.
And after, you know, the 45th year, it no longer served me, and I was able to shed it. And then make use of the wonderful abundance that it provided as a result. I mean, I wouldn't wish this on someone, but I've got to tell you that I wouldn't take anything for it. You know, because my life in the last half of my life, it is so much more full as a result of what I dealt with. It was fine. It was just fine. And I am so very much at peace.
Victoria, I have a question to ask you. And Heidi, I know that you found your life purpose to I think you said, to heal, to do a ministry, helping people heal themselves. Because I read your mission, I guess it's your mission statement at the end of your testimony there at your website. What's the name of your website again? And we'll say it before we close the call.
Vitae Pondera, VitaePondera. It means life balanced. It's Latin for life balance.
Oh, that's wonderful. But she said, you say that, Heidi, at the end of your testimony.
Okay.
Victoria, I want to come back to you. Your life purpose, Heidi. Victoria, you're developing yours. But what was that you said when you have your life purpose? How do you feel about that? That real key in you helping you starting the healing process of your lives, of becoming more abundant and all that stuff? Can you share?
When you find your life purpose, I think all the puzzle pieces, all the things that you need to do in order to obtain any kind of goal will just happen easily. Like things, you know, like paying for classes for me for riding, it just happens. The money's there, the fund's there, I get to pay it. I meet really great people, you know, like it just seems like all the things that I was lacking are now becoming more apparent. And it's because I'm finally on the right path, so therefore things are starting to show. You know, I think a lot of people get disheartened when they think that they're on the right path, but they always have, you know, a speed bump or a roadblock that hits them, and they're like, wow, but this happened today, and so I guess I can't be doing things right. And maybe it's not so much that they're not doing things right, but they just need to make sure they're on the right path.
Right, that's true.
You know, and it is it's a lot of self-checking of yourself on how you think about yourself. And it is really, you know, I've heard it and I've read it, thousands of different books about loving yourself, but it is really true. You need to put yourself above all. So but not in a selfish way, but in a very loving way. Mm-hmm. And then you attract all that you need to attract to manifest whatever you need to manifest.
And, Victoria, what you're saying is absolutely so true, because I remember times of anger when I was in this altered state, couldn't move, and I'd say, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. deserve it. Well, I didn't deserve it. So let's acknowledge that, love myself, and get mm-hmm. out of it and get over it.
And they say when you give something power, it becomes stronger, and it has the absolute same effect when it's something negative. You know, and you had mentioned about the power of the brain on healing, and I wanted to mention there were two instances where I was young, and I wanted to go to a Christmas party, and my mom wouldn't allow me to go because I was sick. I had 103 fever. So this was in the morning, and by the evening, I had willed my body to put that fever down to a 99.5 so I could go to this party. And then once my mom said I still couldn't go because I'm sick, it zoomed right back up. Back to 103. So, that you know, I willed my body. I made sure that it was feeling better. I wanted to be better. And so I was like, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. My body's getting better. And lo and behold, it did. You know, and it happened the same time when I had broken 5 bones in my leg and my foot. You know, I healed 6 weeks earlier than normal people who have this, you know, I have a rod and a plate on my leg and my foot. You know, and I healed 6 weeks early because I sat there and I looked at my foot and I'm like, I'm going to wiggle my toe. Even though I didn't wiggle it, I'm like, we're wiggling it. I'm going to move. I'm not going to be a cripple. I'm going to walk. I'm healing. You know, my body's healing. My bones are fusing. And lo and behold, I did. And it took me a month and a half, and I was already walking at least with a boot and crutches, which normally most people wouldn't be able to. So it's because I wanted to be healthier and I wanted to heal. And it was the sole desire of not being put in a position that I didn't want, I didn't desire. So, and I was able to heal myself. You know, and I think everyone has that desire, that ability to be able to pull whatever strength they have within themselves to heal their body, their soul, their everything. You know, it's just a matter of having that desire, that passion of wanting to. Because, I mean, my Lyme disease threw me to the floor. And I thought I had nothing left, but I did not want to suffer anymore. And that's why I reached out to Therese and I started this process with her, because I was done. I was done with the way I looked. I was done the way I feel. I was done. Done with the people that I was attracting as friends. I was done with the jobs that were just not being nice, you know, with nasty coworkers. And now, you know, because I was done, I made the changes. I realized I wasn't thinking the right way. And, you know, and I realized that my soul's plan was not this way, it was a different way. And that I had to learn to think properly and correctly and the way I was meant to be thinking in order to learn my lesson.
Well, I tell you something, I think that's wonderful that you've done that. And Heidi, she reminds me of you because she's like, I'm going to wiggle my toe. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do
that. That's where it starts.
You guys
and by
are like,
I wiggled my toe.
You guys are like my heroes. Just to let you know, I've reduced my insulin. It's reducing little by little. I'm taking it a unit or two units at a time, and God bless me. So,
Therese, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I used to say I was going to go get a banana split when I'm not on insulin, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not quite sure what I'll do, but I'll tell you what I'd like to just know that I did it would be cool. And if I can do it, so can everybody else, right? If you guys can mm-hmm. do what you're doing, Heidi, you've totally healed yourself. You're in the process of it as with your Lyme disease. I know that all of us can do that. Heidi, visualization is really, really key. And you said that because it works that part of the brain, which I'll never remember, but you made it make sense from myself. Victoria, I know that you do. We talked about visualization in one of our sessions. And so do you use visualization as part of your prosperity, not only for healing your physical body, but also bringing the guy, bringing the prosperity, bringing the life purpose in? Do you use that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely visualize the things that I would like, and I actually get to a point where I actually have daydreams of it, you know, and it comes true in effect, you know, and it is because, you know, when I visualize, I believe. And I think it's a very big thing that if you think there and you visualize something and then 2 seconds later you're like, oh, I'll never get that, you just canceled out that visualization completely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem with us, with our egos, because we all are egos. Our ego loves to take over our thought process. And I think if once you visualize and you truly believe and you know for a fact in your heart and your mind and spirit that you're going to get this, you will. But it's the negative thoughts that we all let creep in that ruins it. So it's like you got to keep positive, you know, keep the visualization, you know, the way you dream it to be, and don't allow the ego to take over and implement some negative ideas, because it really sets you back. You take 2 steps forward, and then you'll take 1 step back with a negative thought.
That is so cool. I like that. And by the way, Heidi, we've got a friend of yours on the phone. I don't know when the last time he's been with 3 girls, but we're going to ask him. I think Mike's on.
I think I know who it is.
I think it's Mike. So, Mike, are you there? Okay, no, he left. Bless his heart. I'm scared him off. Anyway, that's funny. So I want to ask you a question. Heidi and Victoria, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Nutrition is really key, and you gave us some great brain foods to eat. And do you have that on your website, or you know, or do you have a list of foods? Because I'm really interested in that. I want to, you know, I know that certain foods will make me feel like I'm in a fog, and I will never eat them, especially when I'm doing readings or, you know, or doing coaching.
There's magazines out there. There's a thing called clean eating. And if you get in your mind about eating clean, which means from the ground, all natural, you know, something you pick, you know, like fruits and vegetables and stuff, if you start thinking like that, and I think that's where you would start steering towards a better eating habit, you know, because the foods nowadays are so overprocessed that we don't have the vitamins and minerals and any of the nutrition that we're supposed to have in it. And it is causing, you know, a lot of health problems for people. So I think if you steer towards a more, you know, farm fresh, local type vegetables or fruits, or even local beef where it's actually raised properly, I do think that would be at least a start coming from someone who's not, you know, a physician or anything. But that's what I have done, you know, because of the fact that I don't need the extra hormones or the antibiotics that are put into foods or the pesticides or the environmental, just all the environmental stuff that comes now with most of the very fast produced food.
They're terrible stuff there. But Heidi, you're the doctor here, so I know that she's doing it this woman has got, Victoria's got such a strong intuition. She just knows what to do and is really cool about that. So nutrition, is there certain foods, like do you have them on your website, or can people call you and make an appointment?
Basically I did what Victoria is suggesting. I also recognize that even in my healing process, I still had a very severe situation of hypersensitivity. So as a result, I've taken beef and all other meat out of my diet. I've become vegan. I'm you know, trying that out. I am having great luck with it. I'm not finding any downside to it. A lot of sources will say that you don't get enough amino acids. I don't agree now, because I'm getting them, and I'm getting them in coconut oil and vegetables and avocados and legumes, and I'm just having a great time being vegan. I am really enjoying it, and, you know, so that's my suggestion. One book I would like to suggest, that everybody read The China Study. It is the most eye-opening book I've ever read regarding healing, and it has a lot to say about diabetes in there too. Tree, you may, you know, really enjoy
that. Is the third time I've heard about that book in 3 months.
Boy,
I'm going to get
it. It's an incredible.
You guys, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to close because we've got just about another minute. But you both have been so wonderful, and Heidi is going to be on. We're talking about bringing her on again and going, you know, for the next couple of months and teaching everybody about the law of attraction, healing and techniques. And Victoria, I know you've got a great work that you're doing, and bringing you back on too as well. Anyway, if you guys want to know more about Heidi or Victoria, we're go to angelcoaches.com. Or you, Heidi gave the name of her website. What's your website again, Heidi?
Vitae Pondera, V-I-T-A-E. P-O-N-D-E-R-A.com.
Okay, .com. Vitae Pondera. And then we're teaching next Sunday. I've got a class on Law of Attraction, using the angels, working with the angels and your guides to help you manifest the life of your career and love life, prosperity in both your career and your love life. And that's on next Sunday night, East Coast time. If you go to my website, angelcoaches.org, you can get all the information about it. And we've got some new things coming up. And we do readings and coaching. And Victoria is one that I've worked with, and so is Heidi. Years ago, I worked with you. We both worked together. So anyway, thank you, ladies, for being on here. And Heidi, I'm excited about having you back. And Victoria, I'm excited about hearing how when you feel like you're totally yield and prosperous mm-hmm. too as well. And she wants to raise horses. She wants to save a horse and ride a cowboy, right? Is that what she's doing? Mm-hmm. Remember the song?
So, yeah, exactly.
All right, good night, everybody.